Sí.
Call meeting order and Reverend Crawford will give the invitation again.
I can do that. Our heads please. Most gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity we have to come together to work for the good of our community. Lord, thank you for the community we live in and this great nation that allows a form of government that brings the people in direct contact with what goes on day to day. Lord, thank you for this beautiful day and thank you for everything you do for us and give us in your precious Son's name. Amen.
To the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic of which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call.
Kevin Crawford.
Here.
Andy Knott.
Here.
Andy Montoya Batson, Chuck Savage.
Here.
Jerry Batson, we have Corn.
All right. Consideration of minutes for our meeting. Do we have any corrections or additions? Not a motion to approve the minutes.
Also move.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, unfinished business, master plan update.
We had the working paper number 3 meeting on July 16th, and we looked at alternatives to several different large projects. We got the boards from that meeting right here. Let's summarize it for you. We looked at runway extensions on both 1-8 and 3-6 ends. Looked at a couple different options with displaced thresholds or thresholds all the way to the very end. Various options showed the runway protection zone intersecting State Road 40 on the north end. And the current advisory circular from the FAA recommends against putting roads through RPZs. While in the past they may have allowed it, now it doesn't look like it. Which means if we were to build this extension and put the threshold at the end, we would have to relocate State Road 40 around.
No problem.
We'll just do that right away. But we do have some options. We can bring the threshold further to the north, and we can gain some runway length. This is a very expensive project because it requires reconstruction of the crossing of the runway based on the grades and everything. It's an option. We wanted to show it on the airport layout plan. It is not as realistic or cost effective as doing it on the south end. The old airport layout plan showed the RPZ going into these warehouse buildings and actually going across 38. Again, you can't have a road bisect a RPZ. We could purchase this property, but we still have to relocate the road around it. Again, not really feasible. But what we can show is about a 933-foot extension, takeoff pavement only, and at a later date, if we have the money to purchase this property right in here, we can do that and relocate the threshold. But at least the pavement's down. All it is changing the paint and moving the glide slope antennas. This is more realistic to accomplishing added runway.
Let me see about for assumption. That is as long as you can extend it to the south without including that 38th Street.
What we could do, we could actually extend this pavement further and keep the threshold where it is, and the RPZ wouldn't move, I believe. But the 933-foot number is based on a white paper research project that was done around the 727 and the horse industry. 933 feet on a 727 on an average day would let them carry, I think, 80% of their load factor. I may be misquoting that percentage number. But that was the magic number to get the 727s to the mission length that they needed.
Well, the 727 is kind of the DC-3 of the jet age, and it's, you know, I don't know what part that is down the road, but it, you know, the likelihood of it being very more than 727.
Exactly. By the time it intersects, it wouldn't be any left.
It's important to note that the newer airplanes are better for flight.
That's my question.
Right? We may not need the runway length if we don't use the 727.
The 757 get in and out of easily what we got fully loaded.
It will.
So then that makes a difference.
But if you want to show a runway extension, we're going to base it off the 727.
What about,
off of our existing fleet.
What about a 737? There's a lot of those out there.
No problem. I mean, they'll certainly benefit from it, but not have it run the calculations. I don't know where they would fall into it. My guess is that they would be better off, you know, with the added payment, but I think they could operate just
under the
existing conditions.
It's got to be pushing almost 50 years old.
Mm-hmm. We have more operations at 727s on the field than we do 737s at this point, so that's
showing on the plan is the idea of something that could perhaps be. As long as you keep in that perspective, I don't see any harm.
That's why it's on the plan. Looked at the crosswind runway, if there was a need to extend that. What we looked at, again, we have to do it within the confines of our own property and the road network that we constructed. But you're looking at 891 feet on the east end and about the same on the west end, displaced thresholds. Basically we're looking around 4,600 feet accelerated stop distance on the crosswind. That's best case scenario, and that's what we can get on the crosswind runway if the need is there.
And that would include widening it as well?
The thresholds really wouldn't move that. Actually, on this end, we'd have a displaced threshold. Actually, we're showing it on both ends, but you can't, this is
the width threshold. Speaking of the width of the runway.
Being practical on that, now you would, I mean, if it was just DOT money, in theory, you don't have to extend it, but the amount of money that it would cost to do that project, one of the first steps we would want to have the FAA now acknowledge the use of that runway. So, with that in mind, if the FAA is going to participate, yes, you're going to widen it up.
Be 100 feet or 75 feet?
It's 60.
60.
60. 60 now?
Yeah, it's 50 feet now, but we need to be 60.
Oh, that's what.
Keep the same zone.
If you shoot for 75 and see if you can get that.
We can get that.
Absolutely. Looking at Taxiway Alpha, this is the S-turn in it. Looked at a couple different alternatives. One is bringing it, fixing it basically from Alpha 8 all the way to the north, bringing it out to match Alpha 8 to the south. That would be extremely expensive. We could iron out the radius basically and feather it in. Kind of a patch job. This is actually a more realistic option for the money. For this kind of money, we can build a brand new taxiway on the other side for the runway.
Yes.
And
that makes more sense.
And leverage our funds a little bit better.
If you were to do that, I would suggest leaving the extra taxiway that's there for just a run-up area or get out of the way area for people. Unless we don't want to maintain it, no reason to plow it up.
Okay.
The taxiway that's left right there to the west.
Yeah.
Leave that in place unless maintaining it's real expensive because it's down there far enough. It lets aircraft pass. It, you know, it could still be used and have a get out of the way area or a run up area.
I don't know if it meets standards.
It's sort of the width.
You're just talking about
fate. Leaving that in.
Well, but if we were to go with the parallel on the west side, the design group for this would stay as is.
Sure, but I mean, I'm saying if you did that, put the yellow, if you straighten that turn out, then leave it there. Smiley.
I think we can look at it, that may be a design issue, how we drainage, maybe like that.
Okay.
It's not an island in the middle, it's very small. It would suck to that during the design phase up. But you want just to, you know, we can go with that as a design.
We don't have to state that in the ALP. We can just show the fix.
We're saying that's not likely to happen because the emphasis would be on building up.
Actually, this is very likely to happen. Right now, we're getting some shoving on the section right here. As a heavy aircraft make that turn, like it's pushing and shoving the asphalt, we're going to have to fix it eventually. We would end up doing that. So this would happen probably in the next 5 to 6 years, I guess.
It leaves a passing area on the taxiway, which we don't have, as we can say.
But the wingtip clearances wouldn't work. You couldn't pass two airplanes at the same time.
Not airplane, but you a Cub.
Maybe you were airplane.
Cubs and Sherman's a new pilot.
So.
Oh, cool question.
Yeah.
Those first two were alternate number twos.
Yes.
What happened to alternate number one?
That was, that showed the extension of the RPC going to the runway for visualization purposes, which we discounted. So we don't want to relocate the road. I'm sorry, the RPZ going across the road. We don't want to relocate the road.
Okay.
In that alternative, that will be in the actual final report. The exhibit that I'm referring to and the explanation of what it is and why it was.
This shows the full length taxiway Charlie on the west side. 75 feet wide. This will accommodate the larger 757s, the 767s, no problem. And we're also showing the proposed cargo apron over here. Though we're showing the whole thing in this light, realistically, if we get an operator over there, we're going to build this in sections, just enough to get it in place, get it in the ground.
Make sense?
Of all these proposals, which do you think is the most important? What are you going to push for?
I've always thought that Taxiway Charlie on the west side will bring more for the airports and runway extension. I would say that this or a portion thereof would be more important than the runway extension.
I agree with that. It all is predicated on having an opportunity to develop something on that side. And there's more and more, once the economy gets a little better straight, there's more and more opportunities for that. So if somebody comes along, they got bucks, and they want to do something on the other side with a cargo or whatever, well, you can get it built tomorrow, kind of.
And this would justify runway extension, having the operator there.
If you need
so
it.
The two would go hand in hand. First the taxiway, and then the...
It amazes me how much these things cost. It seems like it would be so much cheaper than that.
You know, you go out and just take a little piece of city street somewhere, and we surface it, and go look at what it costs. It's unbelievable. You and I could do a lot too.
This is just showing some ideas on hangar placement. I'm more in favor of just showing the area instead of a firm footprint of a hangar, because it's going to change. It changes all the time based on needs and what people propose. This campus layout right here, I think we talked about it last time. It may not necessarily look like that. Certainly, we could fit a lot more than just 2 60-by-60s on that end of the hangar there. And this is actually set up to accommodate 20,000 square feet of hangar space. So
that's at the south.
Yeah, this is on the south end. But kind of giving you an idea, we do have plenty of opportunity for corporate hangar development on existing infrastructure and access to the airfield.
One thing we had done over the years, and it was for a different purpose, but now it's for a different purpose. Than the original different purpose, and I'll get to that. The picture to the right, immediately south of the old airline terminal,
mm-hmm.
We had stayed away because there was a lot of people that wanted to develop corporate hangars there, and if you develop corporate hangars there, you start pushing right close up to where the terminal building was. If we go forward with our general aviation terminal building in that spot, keeping hangars off of that, keeping that area more available for landside use may be more desirable than airside use, since there's plenty of other spots on the airport to put corporate hangar. So that had been the thinking of the board back when we were looking for airline service. We had a pretty good plan going. We talked to a lot of air carriers. We almost had Eastern, and then things happened, and you know, that's gone along, but that's not likely to happen, but it still could.
Perhaps.
And then the other side of the airport comes into play now, which it did before. But keeping those four hangars out of there until kind of the last minute lets you plan the area where the terminal is.
Perhaps a nice mixture in that area, though, because it, realistically, right here is probably a great spot for another hangar. The apron is right there. But on the backside, closer to the road, you could probably look at something.
Well, you got, right now, you got a need for rental car space. Have you relocate that to the south end of the field?
But the nice thing about this location, as opposed to these right here, is that this is highly desirable for some sort of commercial business. Because you could have vehicle parking on the backside, secured access, whereas any of these blue hangars in the interior, you can't have secured or unsecured access from the street coming right up to the hangar. It's not capable. These are more private, individually owned. They won't have any kind of commercial business in it. These are more of a commercial operation because they're right. We can have unsecured access and isolate that, as are these two right here because of their proximity and they're on the outer edge.
So those three hangars to the south of the sheriff's hangar, that's not the sheriff's hangar.
Here's the
town. No, the blue hangars.
Mm-hmm.
That's the sheriff's hangar?
No. This is the sheriff's hangar right here.
Okay, well, ma'am.
See, there's an area missing right in here.
Well, those are close to where the tower is.
Yes, that's the control tower.
That's our proper hangar and flexible request.
The terminal doesn't even show up on here. You've got Landmarks building.
Yeah, I was talking about Landmarks building the second half was the terminal.
Their storage hangar, the tower, and then a sliver of the terminal is right here, the rental terminal. And then basically it picks up in the midfield portion.
I was messed up. The other fork of that taxiway that's adjacent to the sheriff's is the one.
Maybe this
that
will help.
What I was talking about.
Right here.
And because that kind of started to impinge on the terminal layout.
Well, this is what we're looking at as far as the terminal layout. We can construct the terminal south of the existing terminal, the GA terminal, that is, while keeping this in operation. We've got the parking lot flow here. We can construct the terminal there. Eventually, I think we can work a deal out with the sheriff and reacquire some of this property right in here. And relocate these pads, and we can acquire all this property for apron, or if we needed to put a a storage hangar next to the terminal, we could do that here too.
Yeah.
But I think that kind of alleviates your fears.
Well, the original agreement with the sheriff's office, and it's somewhere been lost, probably in re-amendments to the lease and so forth, was they took that space with the understanding that if it were needed for, at that time, airline expansion,
mm-hmm.
and or other airport uses like what we're talking about now, that they would abandon it, move it, or do something else with it. It's kind of it was contractually originally, and then it kind of...
There's nothing in any of the two contracts with the sheriff that guarantees that. But just in speaking with them over the past couple of years about their helicopter pads and this area right in here, they're more than willing to give up that property with a commensurate reduction in their ground rent, of course. But they're willing to work this. They're ready.
Yeah.
Here.
Awesome.
So there's that. We talked a little bit about the location of the airport rescue firefighting facility. We think that the best option is to put it here on the west side, adjacent to the cargo apron. That's where the majority of the large aircraft are going to be, ultimately. It's more midfield, and you can see all ends of each runway. From that location.
You know, I disagree somewhat with that because of the this is politics and getting back to the city. The current location of the fire station, where I'm working out of now, CF.
Yeah.
If that fire station were located on the airside portion of the airport, so the back half of it could be the ARC, so they had one station, and it could serve inside the city well, that kind of plan at one time was talked about for being, you know, more operationally, it was an opportunity and could perhaps be done. You stick it kind of back in the woods, back over there, then it's totally dedicated to the airport. And I'm not sure how long it's going to be before we can actually afford the budget, the city, the network budget now, to have an actual firefighting station there, man it, keep up with it, and so forth. So you can make it a quasi-ARC and regular fire station and put it on the 60th Avenue access. I think that would make more sense, in my mind.
Well,
that could change years down the road, but right now, if we could do it right now, if you could close the fire station from College Road by the community college.
I think you have to look at the response times from the airport to the furthest coverage point from the CF station.
And
I think that's what kills that idea. It's something that we can reach out and talk to the fire chief about.
And now that the 4-lane roads out there and the response times have changed, you know, perhaps it changes, because that was a 2-lane road. Right now, that's only 2-lane.
Terry, the other thing, that whenever you go over the ARC station, there's a different sighting criteria where if you had it here, it would have to be far enough or close enough to the rail's accident that you had that visibility from the runway. So although it may, when you actually do the study before the...
I was thinking of it more in the area where, like an argument.
Not that eight.
Maybe more intersection here. Of course, you've got other things there. They could be here, for instance. Then you get what you need from there, and you still got the ability to figure the way to fire trucks.
Well, what we have is, you know, response to there's an airport facility that's close enough. You have the sighting for the runways. You have to have a sighting if this is considered active.
You know, I understand that, but realistically, it's going to be that's a big budgetary item for our airport to put in a man on our facility for the amount of traffic we got. I just don't. I think for a while we would need a quasi
internal location.
Yeah, it would be a regular fire station plus an ARC station. It might not fit all the criteria, but it's a lot better than what we got right now. Really, after a mile.
Can we show this as the dedicated location, dedicated airport ARC location? And maybe show this right here as a joint.
That'd be a good one.
Joint facility.
I think it's a stepping stone. I don't know about the other folks on the board.
Right, I think the airport, the first fire vehicles have got to reach the midpoint of this roadway, starting to get carried within 3 minutes. So, you know, there's quite a bit of something.
Yeah. Right now we got no air carriers. We got
true, carriers. True, but you know, it's you always.
But we do have operations that require it. Mm-hmm. We do have operations that occasionally require that.
Yeah. And what we're doing now is just spot the ARC. But if you could spot the ARC truck right out the back of the firehouse, and, mm-hmm. and the same crew went with it out to the edge of the runway that we're doing now, it would be much more efficient. Not to mention the fact that if you did emergency on the airport, there'd be somebody there. Response time got to be a lot more improved than what we got. But the interim airport, we'd be talking 10, 15 years. So,
okay. Any more questions on the master plan? Oh, did we establish when the working paper number 4 date was?
What we're going to do, since working paper 4 was going to be the narrative of the ALB.
Right.
And that what we're going to do is combine 4 and 5. It's going to be end of August, budget 4 and 5.
Okay. So stay tuned on that.
I will really endeavor to be there. I apologize for missing the last two.
But I will say the reason I had an eye issue in June, so that was kind of the reason we had to push things back. So
I don't have to be responsible.
The last working paper, that was only on me. My bread and went out.
That meeting I went to lasted until 8 o'clock. 8 o'clock. It was a long
time. Oh, your bank meeting?
Yeah, 4 days. Long.
You said it was important.
It was important.
All right, moving on. The Landmark Fuel Farm. After considerable discussion, both with staff, with board members, and with our consultant, we're looking at a second option, a second location. It ultimately offers better access and addresses the safety concerns of the board. As a reminder, this is what we were initially proposing. We don't, while I think this would work, from a dollar and cent perspective, I think it would cost a lot of money, especially since we have to construct this brand new taxiway in addition to all the concrete. We're not entirely sure the FAA would buy off on it with the clearances. Between the tank and the center line in this location. And moving it any closer brings it closer to the building and ultimately closer to the operations on this apron. So we looked at other areas that offer the same things that we were looking at benefiting from this location off of the road. It maintains all flexibility and options. We're looking at this location right here. This is a little further south. We're showing two access aprons, one for the self-serve aircraft. And on this end, this is where the tanker trucks would come in and offload or the mobile refuelers on the airport would load. It's clear of all the taxiways and it's certainly clear of all the buildings.
Well, that's an improvement over the grassy knoll out here that really is kind of was very tight. But I still don't understand the long-term thinking behind the city being in the refueling business right out of the fuel park.
Well, when we brought this in front of the city council, they liked the idea of preserving all of our options.
All of them.
Whether the city operates the fuel farm and upsells it to the FBO or multiple FBOs, or we lease it to the FBO in its entirety, or we do it ourselves. Ultimately, they wanted it in a location that preserves all options. That, in addition to moving it off the road on the interior of the airport, provides a level of security and safety that we don't get with the current location. And I know you may not remember, we had a couple presentations from a couple of experts, unsolicited presentations, where they really focused on the vulnerability of having the fuel tanks right next to the road. It was something that staff had to deal with for a good year in mitigating that. At the very least, moving it in the interior will avoid that. There's a couple other benefits to this. Eventually, we're going to have to do some sort of an aircraft wash pad where the EPA or the Florida DEPA is not going to allow washing airplanes in the grass on in front of your hangar. What we can do, since we're utilizing this area right here for the fuel farm, we can put an aircraft wash pad right here as well. And I think the two would go well together right in this location. Ultimately, this drainage retention area will get filled in and brought back up to grade, and we can extend these T-hangers out. But when we do that, we're going to have to fix some drainage issues, and instead of draining everything to the east, we have to redirect it, and drain it to the west and bring it into the drainage swales right in here. Constructing this, we can upsize the pipes and get that ready to accommodate that flow during this project with minimal cost, so we can jump right in and get that process rolling. So there's a lot more benefits to putting it right here. I think the FAA won't have a problem with it, and it meets all of our benefit criteria.
I still don't really see anything fundamentally wrong with reconstructing the new fuel facility on approximately the site of the old fuel. So I don't see that, with some fencing, you've got the ability to be just as secure there as you do, you know, 200 yards away. And I really don't see the need for spending extra money. It would be nice from Landmark perspective, I guess. They don't have to provide a fuel farm, not a fuel farm, but a direct fueling access from the self-serve for the next 4 years or so. That would benefit them, because they don't have to haul it, save the labor and time, haul the fuel over to put it in their facility. But after the lease runs out and we go to a new lease, then what do you have? And then you've got the possibility 5 years, 10 years down the road where you have a second FBO, got a fueling operation, you got this. Unless the city's going to dispense the fuel, you know, how are you going to dispense the self-fueling rights to which FBO? It seems to me it's just borrowing trouble. I'm not sure. I haven't really talked to anybody on the council about what they were looking at, but I don't think they really know enough about it for it to be,
We were pretty detailed in presenting multiple times what this affords. I mean,
Mark Mondo came here and specifically spoke about wanting to.
Absolutely. And, you know, we could, at the end of the Landmark lease, we could rehire Landmark, status quo. We could find another FBO under the same basic terms and operational capability and basically deed them the fuel farm in the future. We could maintain operations of the fuel farm. We could store the fuel on behalf of the FBO and then charge them an uplift fee out of it. We could manage the fuel farm. We could contract out the FBO services and the fuel farm. We could do everything ourselves. The bottom line is this location preserves every single option and it doesn't eliminate options. And we get some benefit out of it too in a brand new facility. Council like that.
You have a brand new facility wherever you put it, so that's going to be the same.
Okay.
I just think, you know, my opinion obviously is zone one, but I think, you know, the fuel farm where it is being rehabbed, not rehabbed, well, you can't do that, but being redone into the new, in that same area, the new fuel farm, remove the old one, or perhaps incorporate part of what's there on a temporary basis. And is the footprint of the new fuel farm and the footprint of the old one approximately the same?
Yeah, it's about right.
Three tanks?
Three tanks. Mm-hmm. The tank dimensions will be a little bit different.
Those coming out of the ground, the existing ones?
They're all above ground. Yeah, the existing ones.
The new tanks will be above ground as well. Mm-hmm.
So you could put T-hangers there, theoretically. Yeah.
Well, I think the best, if the fuel farm's not there, the best possible use for that is probably an expansion for maintenance. Yeah, I mean, mm-hmm. I would use that for T-hangers right there if that maintenance got bigger or better or needed more.
But you could put some sort of a building there, the bottom line is.
You know, corporate hangars, while we moved off that slide, where the one corporate hangar is now, immediately south of this building, or I'm sorry, east of this building, it didn't even show on there, does it?
I'm sorry,
That's it old enough for the hangar next door here.
Yeah, it's off the, it's cat off corner that. Right here. And then you've got...
There's room for three more hangars like that in that spot, so...
Yes.
That's an ideal place for corporate hangars because it has road access on the front.
Yes, it is.
Air side on the front.
So you could expand that key hangar to the south, a little bit north.
What we could do is expand these T-hangers.
What about the one?
Right here?
Yeah, north.
No, this building is maxed out. I mean, we could go north a little bit, but you'd end up having a firewall right here. And you get maybe three more spots. Yeah, but, I mean, we could get three more spots here, we get three more spots here. Probably four, actually, on each side. Four on each side. Four on each side. Right here, or four total. I'm sorry, four total units. We have a lot of property for T-hangers, a lot of options still. So I don't necessarily see putting it right here along with the wash pad. I mean, we're gonna have to put a wash pad somewhere as well. but I don't see that eliminating our T-hanger capabilities. We still have plenty of options with that.
Well, like I said, that makes more sense to me than the other, but still the other, you know, having a fuel farm where it's at makes even more sense. Trucks can come and go.
Mm-hmm.
It's got easy access to the roadway. It can be gated, made more secure, cameras, all the other kind of stuff we got out that we didn't have before, better lighting. And the, I guess there's a, is there a drainage retention area to the east of that?
Yeah, but it would be difficult to get fuel self-service.
Well, I still think that the idea of the self-service, what Landmark's got now, I mean, they have a portable self-serve kind of unit that if it's decided next week that we don't like it there, it would cost something, but Tracy could move that almost anywhere. It's not a big deal to relocate that anywhere on her ramp area than around the airport. So you're kind of like the tail wagging the dog because you've got the fuel farm and all of that together. It seems to me having mobile fuelers in multiple locations, if you had multiple FBOs, let them tend to the self-serve portion of it and just keep the fuel farm part itself. And having self-serve jet along with self-serve lowland makes even less sense to me because there's so very few airplanes. There's a few TBMs and Gladys and those kind of airplanes that could actually use it.
As far as multiple FBOs, I mean, we've tried three times.
That's not going to happen right away, but it will.
It will happen eventually, especially if we're looking at cargo on the west side. If we expand the west side, I foresee an FBO on the west side. Having the fuel farm on the east side with FBO on the west side, that's not going to work. They're going to end up building their own fuel farm. I don't see two FBOs on the east side operating the same.
The city trying to maintain and pump the boat.
But putting the fuel farm in the existing location doesn't meet the council's desires to keep all the options open with the self-serve.
But I think some of the options that we're going to make that happen aren't as realistic as they want to be. I think if the council's about to change, we sat down with the group and looked at it again.
But
I don't know what they would think now.
Council may change. I mean,
oh, council's going to change. That one's not running.
Right. No, I hear what you're saying, but and we could sit around and wait, and then the EPA is going to come back and say, why haven't you done anything yet? We kind of have to move forward. We have to do something.
Well, I don't know that enough. We're going to talk a couple of months till the council change. Elections are in September. October.
Terry, I got to be honest. I mean, we've got a grant that the FDOT's expecting us to go forward with.
Have
it.
We got
it sitting on our hands, waiting for council that they might have a change of heart.
We're not going out to do the fuel farm. It's quite the where we put it.
We're designing it right now. I mean, the survey guys were out there today. It's going to take 2 months to put it out or to advertise it and order the materials. And I don't want to be in the position to tell the EPA that we're waiting on politics to fix a problem.
I only have one vote.
You're looking for a vote?
I'm not looking for a vote. This is merely an advisory as to what happened at the at the master plan committee meeting, what we talked about and where staff is going with it.
Well, I'm still on record as being opposed to it being anywhere other than the area that it's in, and that the fuel, the FBO provide their own multiple or their own portable fueling devices. Then that saves the city money in terms of the grant. We don't have to buy and maintain and have partners where they maintain it and have, you know, self-serving fuel doctors right all the time. But from a Landmark standpoint, they may applaud that because that's going to save them some money over the next 4 years. Mm-hmm. I don't know how they would put it.
What is your position?
I like the location.
The new location?
Yeah, I like the new location. I think the way it's being designed with the specifications that Matt and I looked at is, it wouldn't be extremely difficult to move those self-serve facilities down the road off the main field.
You can just take them and move them.
Yeah, you'd have to buy enough tanks, which you have to do anyway, if you're going to do it, but it would not be that difficult, probably, you know, minimal cost. You can take off piping and just buy the tank and move it, I mean, you've got it there.
My first option is where it is, my second option, I'm a lot more comfortable with this option than.
I think it still allows you what you're talking about, where you could take those self-serve facilities and relocate some of those differences to other main farm. It gives you all options.
And the next lease negotiation, which isn't that far down the road, will dictate kind of where the fuel farm's going to go the next 30 years, 25 years.
That means it's a good location, I like it a lot.
Yeah, I just want to chime in, out of all the airports that I've managed or worked at over my career, by far, that's a strength where I'm using the government system, but the most profitable were those where the airport administration controlled the farm and owned the farm. And not to say a landmark.
I agree, I mean, I think we've been lucky that we won't pay for it now since Calum. It's a revenue.
That's how you're wrong.
But no, I agree, it is a revenue source for the city or airport authority, whoever's running the airport, it is a revenue source. And I've been at a lot of airports in my career, and at a lot of them, we do joint fuel farms with their RPOs or joint with airlines in it.
Right. But the issue is, you know, as Matt has pointed out, in the long term, nobody knows what's going to happen, Landmark or what this airport's going to mean 10 or 15 years.
If it were me as a manager, I'd rather pay the extra than somebody else.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it reduces your liability insurance. You see product liabilities, but it preserves so many more options for everybody and for the future of the airport.
No, that's what I was saying. This gives you the options of both whether they have to run it, the city run it. You can take that piping and move it if you want to move it and serve. So I think it's a good option all the way around.
That was just my suggestion.
Well, having the self-serve there for the next, 5 years of your lease left?
That's why I have
it. Yeah, that definitely is a benefit to you. Saving money more than fuel. Self-serve.
Yeah, that's not that big a deal.
Yeah, it really would help.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
Okay. Speaking of fuel, year-to-date, we're 10.2% over where we were this time last year.
Good.
Doing all right. We're positives all the way across. We are in the slow time of our season right now. Jet was down 4%. Avgas was up. Remember, these are deliveries to the bulk tank. Overall, June was 3.8% above June of 2012. So happy to see that. On the operations side?
Yes, question.
Sure.
Tracy, do you see that much of an increase? Has it helped from the self-serve? Not that much, Ben.
Not yet. The weather is not a big factor, too.
So the increase we're getting is more from operations?
Well, that increase, like Matt said, that's pretty substantial.
Seasonal?
That's not realistic because it's going by deliveries, not sales.
Yeah.
Because we drive a delivery here into the month. So, you know, we've talked about that before.
Skew the numbers quite a
bit. By 1,000 gallons.
This month right now, I'm only like maybe 600 gallons ahead of last year, month to date, which I expected a lot more, the sales would be so much lower now. But with also this weather, it's not just afternoon rain, it's like all day rain. And the restaurant's seen a decrease too. It's like, you know, the small GA aircraft has been.
The whole Southeast has been one big thunderstorm.
So that's affecting it too. So I'm still, you know, and it's not going to help much. I mean, I got a load of fuel coming. It's going to go up like 38, 40 cents a gallon on the next load of Avgas. And I've been taking the tanks down to bare minimum, hoping it goes down. And it might go down 1 to 3 cents on Tuesday. It's been escalating. So I'm actually thinking about just buying a half load and hoping it keeps going down. I'm just getting the other half load over, split it over, damp over, and the difference. But yeah, this month's been kind of
But everyone now on the field is aware that the fuel price here in Ecuador can pair it self-serve wise with vanilla and Willis.
Oh, absolutely.
You can't fly.
And we tell transits, when transits come in and ask for fuel, we are the first to say, you know, are you aware of the self-serve price? And some of them aren't. They don't check their navigation. So, you know, before we go out there in full service, I want to make sure, look, it's a drastic difference for you to go. And some of them will then say, oh, thank you for telling me, and they'll go do it.
We're still getting the word out. There's a few people in the EAA that didn't have any idea about the fuel price difference. And,
you can't, unless you're just looking for an excuse to fly somewhere, you can't go to Vanilla and Williston and back and say,
I mean, it's only been like 3 months since we've been. A little more than 3 months since we've been.
We're within a nickel or dime of the same price.
Yeah, a little bit
more
than that right now, but close. I mean, it just varies when you buy it. I know John should be about ready to roll up the column right now. So. But with the way it's been fluctuating, if you don't buy it at that time, it's just.
Do we have access to how many gallons that Alan's pumping?
I talked to him. I know when he does last fly, we don't know what he's pumping right now, but.
What's the price differential on the curiosity?
Right now, they're at 487 and we're at 519.
Full service versus?
They don't have full service.
Oh.
They're all on sale.
Oh, okay.
But our full service, it's 744 full service and 519 self-service.
You know, does Williston still have?
They're at 516 right now, I think it is.
They have self-serve.
And full service.
And full service, the same price.
It's only like a, I don't know, like 40% difference or something.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Operations. June the 13th was essentially even with June the 12th. I think there was 50 operations difference. 13 was higher, so by 50 operations, I guess that's good. We're on track to hit 61,000 for the year still. Had the walkthrough on the runway 826 that went very well. Just a couple little punch list items that we had to fix. There's an area of paint that's coming up, and contractor's going to bring in some additional topsoil and fill in some of the areas that didn't seed too well or didn't take with the sod. But the state was here. They did the walkthrough with us. They were pleased with the results. They it was their money, so that went well.
What about the maintenance ramp? It's the last place that has that coating on it. Is there any kind of plan to do anything with it in the future?
The Polycon?
Yeah, is that what it is?
Yeah. The entire ramp in front of the FBO, several of the taxiway connectors have it. The apron in front of the exec jet. The taxiway and the apron around this hangar.
It's all over the place.
Yeah, they put it everywhere. It's
who was that guy, Rob?
It is.
Yeah, they helped chunk up a little.
Yeah, it was that guy, Rob.
Lightning strike.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll dig them up.
We got pictures off the security camera.
Yeah. Can you hear them?
Yeah, we do.
So that material had a 10-year warranty on it. It was placed in 04, so we're coming up on 10 years. It's holding up well. For the most part, there are a couple problem areas, but nothing nearly as bad as what we were experiencing on the terminal.
I think the FAA paid for it at that time, 10 years ago, but 9 years ago, they weren't paying for it anymore, I don't think.
Yeah.
It had a short life.
Yeah, I haven't looked at what's eligible anymore, as far as ramp coatings or sealants.
Nice to pay for concrete.
Yes, it would.
Well, I just noticed it walking there right there.
I think the land's got the F-dot ramp for Gripflex.
Yeah, see, I won't do Gripflex or anything, just because of our bad experience with Polycon. I would much rather put down asphalt and pay a little extra for 2 inches of P401 and right. Are there any other questions?
No more. How did the event go the other evening?
I was going to say, I had a good chance to get ready to get going. It was very good. CDP said it was probably one of the largest turnouts they've ever had.
It was packed, shoulder to shoulder in there.
And we had Sheriff's helicopter pushing on.
Randy and I called the military and asked them to bring in some Blackhawks for you.
I was so amazing. Everybody said, did you plan this?
Randy and I did it.
Yeah, we ended up with four. Did you see, were you there for the other two? Four times total. And then C-130 started doing the touch and goes, like about 8 o'clock that night.
You must have called.
I was sitting home on the porch and I called and said, are they landing? You make me feel this about it, just the touch and goes. But it was very, very turnout. Thank you. You know, and I know you were out of town and Matt and his staff helped a lot with helping us set up. To be honest, I was a little disappointed that we didn't have, you know, some city staff and city council members. We had a county council member, but no city council and no city staff. So I was a little disappointed.
We put the word out. We invited them.
Well, they probably didn't realize. Because nobody knows who they are anyway, so.
Yeah, but I knew. But anyway, it was really good. It was a great turnout. I think it was well received.
Other than the heat is there, it's kind of.
Yeah, there wasn't much we could do about that.
Food was good.
Even if we had left the doors to open and close, they would have been doing it constantly with people standing in front of them. So it was either open them up totally or.
Well, you're going to work toward the future, having it in the cooler time of year.
Oh, yeah, I said that when I spoke. I said, you know, I would definitely I would just cook it.
It's first available, yeah.
Well, it was cancellation.
Right.
I mean, I'm still down for December 2014 is what I originally had.
On our Christmas party.
Yeah, 2014, not 13.
All right. Any other comments from Peanut Gallery? Thank you. Anything from the board? Matt, you got anything else?
That's it.
Move for adjournment.
I'll second.
Thank you.
Thank you. Can you handle this for me, please? Thank you. Save my breath.